Hey everybody, welcome back to the We Suck at D&D podcast. My name is Aaron and I'll be the guest DM for the Path of Prophecy, and I'd like to take a second to let you know that the following episode is not safe for work. There are going to be a lot of curse words used in these episodes, mostly by me. There are going to be a few S words, a couple of F words, and I believe even a K word or two, so viewer discretion advised, and thanks for listening.
Providences, born of wars long waged, a unity formed. Tempers assuaged. This lasting peace was doomed to fail. Beneath their seas, the real threat hails. Pain and strife will wreath this earth. Suffer then, storm clouds thrice cursed. Chosen plucked from vows of peace, who bear the mark of those deceased. Repel the threat, tear it asunder, lest your world the demons plunder. Assemble now the relic seven, use their strength, protect thy brethren.
So you're both dreaming the same dream, but from different perspectives. In your dream, it's nighttime. A cool breeze blows in from the ocean. Diggums, you're walking down the road. You're walking down a road in the Straya province, full of shame and chagrin. You had abandoned your people to live life as a bounty hunter. Once the mighty champion of the tribe of Green Thumbs, you're left feeling empty. Your family, your power, and your forests are gone. You've fallen back on the only other life you know. Bounty hunting. O'Hare, you had just sat down in your favorite chair to read after putting your daughter to bed. You lean back in the recliner your father-in-law had made you as a wedding gift and wonder as to his well-being. Just as you're about to crack open your book, you hear a blood-curdling scream from Louise's room. You jump out of your chair, sending your book skittering across the floor, and run to your daughter's room in a panic. You burst through the door and stop dead in your tracks as a man in all black slides his blade out of your daughter's chest. You stand there stunned as the fiend casts a large fireball through your ceiling and leaps to the resulting hole. Your home, sealed with linseed oil and turpentine, ignites violently. As you rush to your daughter's aid and cradle her in your arms, you hear her whisper something incomprehensible before the light behind her eyes goes out. At this point, your home is fully engulfed in flames and rafters begin to fall all around you. Smoke burning your lungs, you struggle towards the door, carrying Luis's limp form in your arms when a large support beam falls and smashes you both to the floor. Your vision blurs as you crawl through the flaming rubble with one arm, the other arm pulling Luis behind you. You cross the threshold of the door and lay prone on the cool grass of your lawn. You hear a voice. You're a resilient one, aren't you? And as you look up, there's a man standing about 5 feet away from you, and the man takes a step in your direction but stops, glancing to his left. His face crunches into a scowl before waving his right hand in an oval gesture and stepping through a portal. Alright, Diggums. You're jarred from your melancholy when you hear a concussive boom followed by a bright light. You take off at a full sprint towards the commotion and come to a faltering stop on the crabgrass lawn of a beachside cottage. Before you stands the bounty you've been hunting the last 3 months, Duval, towering over the prone form of a burned man still smoldering from the fire. Duval looks your way, scowls, and steps into thin air and out of sight. You approach the injured man and extend your shovel to help him get to his feet. You both wake up. You're in your shared room of a Copenhagen tavern. The scent of smoke and searing meat wafts through the floorboards as the kitchen staff starts their day. You can hear the jingle of the door's bell as a customer enters while dim columns of light filter through the cracks in the walls. It's been 3 days of hard travel since you first met each other. As you both sit up on your bedrolls, you make eye contact with each other. What do you do?
There. Still haven't worked out a voice for hair, so... Well, we're gonna sound pretty damn similar.
Well, I'll come into my own as we go, I'm sure.
I love
these moments of prolonged eye contact. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's
It's a good way to wake up in the morning. Yeah, I know that's not your real voice. You know, you've probably just got damage from the smoke and the fire back there. It's only been 3 days.
Waking up, same dream as always. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Weird how we have that identical dream every night.
It makes me miss those days.
Which day? The one day your house was on fire?
Well, just the past. You know, you always look at it more fondly than it really was. If you went back, it wouldn't be. But
yeah,
the consequences, they just seem to not really exist in hindsight, you know?
Yeah, you know what they say. To remember the good times, you also got to remember the bad times. Right? Yeah. That's what they say, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that fits in there, but yeah.
Hey, I love your pillow talk.
What say we go get a little coffee and some breakfast? Do they have coffee here?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, they wouldn't call it Copenhagen if they didn't have coffee.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right. Diggum stands up and makes his way towards the door.
And I wake up and I stress and go, All right, let's do this.
Oh, man. It's you're very much burned at this point. I have it in here somewhere. There's a percentage you gave me. It's like 41% of your body's burned. Real bad.
Oh, did I sleep without my helmet?
Well, I haven't written it in that you have your headgear as of yet. So as of now, you're just a really burnt fucking chicharrone looking guy.
Okay, it's only 3 days later, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so at this point, I have... I'm bandaged, I'm assuming, on my face. It's my head, neck, chest, and shoulder area, right?
Right. So, and the assumption that I made was that Diggums is a druid, and he's been healing you over this time.
In fact, I stop in my tracks. Diggums stops in his tracks, and he turns around, and he's like, I almost forgot. It's been a short rest. Well, actually a long rest because we went to sleep. And I walk over and put my hand over your wounds and cast Mending, which is a cantrip.
I come. You gotta stop doing that.
Oh, wait.
You gotta warn me before you do that, man.
Definitely didn't read Mending before I put it in. Mending is not a healing spell. It fixes broken things.
Oh, man, I turned into a chair.
A really fucking sweet chair, though.
I mean, yes, I could cast Cure Wounds, but that's an actual spell. It's going to take a spell slot, and you're not actually... You don't have HP damage that I know of, right? Does he? DM?
Does he take what damage?
Does he have any damage to his HP from that fire, or his...
I'd say after 3 days, no.
Okay.
He's not feeling super great still, but he's perfectly ambulatory.
Yeah, mentally right. Orphaned.
So I check out your wounds, and then I'm like, well, no need for me to cast any more spells. You're just on the mend now.
Druid cast mend?
My mend is not even... I put mend in here because I thought it was a healing spell. It's a fucking, fix broken things spell.
I mean, that's a cool thing to have, in all honesty.
Super handy. So you guys are leaving the room, going down to the main room, I'm assuming?
Yeah. How's my physical appearance?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say Diggums either gave you or acquired you some new clothes. So your clothes are decent, but you are definitely burned. People might be a little off-put by you.
Okay. I think at this point, I don't know. I don't know what our plans are. Are we from Copenhagen?
No. So the dream, or the incident described in the dream, takes place in the Straya province where your character's from. I did work in... I worked in one decent way of getting you your headpiece. Yeah. And... a shitty backup in case you derailed me.
Okay, cool. So at this point, basically, I just kind of have a hood, I'm assuming. I'm a rogue. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Can I have a hood?
Yeah, you have a hood.
All right, so I'm just gonna before we go out, I'm gonna make sure that I have my hood because I'm incredibly self-conscious about my burned skin, and every time I catch a glimpse of it, and whether it be because I turn to the drink a lot, so I tend to have reflective glasses, not sunglasses, but like drink glasses and stuff, and I can see myself in them as I drink and that kind of thing, and it totally bums me out when I see my scarred face because it just reminds me of 3 days ago, and I'm already trying to forget about it. I'm trying not to take any time to mourn.
As Hare is, I can see, so Diggum sees Hare slipping into this remembering 3 days ago and trying to explain why he's drinking a lot and is to himself, trying to just like make himself feel better about drinking a lot. I pick up the pipe that he was clutching when I found him, and I extend it out to him, and I say, "Hare," which snaps you out of your little fog there. And I say, "Don't forget your pipe."
"Oh, thanks, man." And I pack the end of the pipe with my special herb.
Is this canon?
No.
It can be.
It's not. I don't want that. All right, I take it, and I'm slipping back into Diggum's voice. And I go, "Hey, thanks, man."
"Don't mention it. Let's go get that coffee." And I grab my shovel off the, which is leaning up against the wall, and I walk out the door.
All right, so you guys walk downstairs to the main room of the tavern that you're in, and you see it's pretty simple. There's only like maybe two or three small circular tables and a kind of like a bar where they serve food and stuff.
Okay.
Do we want to have the conversation of where to sit, or can we just...
Let's just grab one of these tables.
All right, that's a... Damn it! Okay, I can't do my regular voice.
Yeah, it's preferred that you don't.
I know. Well, okay, where do you want to sit?
There he goes. I knew it was coming. The old go-to.
Okay.
No, there's no way we can do that.
Sound like the King Candy from
Wreck-It Ralph. What's your best accent that you do mostly flawlessly? Is it Australian?
I mean,
I'm going to be Australian.
That was like your first go-to, right?
All right, let's be Australian then.
That's why I named it Straya.
All right, it's fine. I can be from Australia. It's fine. All right. So anyways, do you want to start over, or do I cough a little bit more and then get back into it?
That's better. I thought something was still wrong with your voice. It must have just been some leftover damage, but you're sounding right now.
Yep, sorry about that. It's just something about the light coming in from the windows is really waking me up, and I'm back at it. There we go.
It's real strange that when you wake up, you have a completely different accent, but you know, morning voice is morning voice.
Well, you know, I did a lot of traveling. You know, I was a rogue plumber. Rogue plumbers don't stay in one place for very long.
Yeah. Must have spent a lot of time up there in Freyden, starting to sound like one of them, huh? Oh, I don't know why I'm talking like I have bad grammar. That wasn't in my backstory.
Yeah, being to Freyden.
I put it here.
Anyway,
bad grammar.
I'm really cheery as an Australian.
They just tend to sound that way. All right, anyways.
Yeah, all right.
Let's grab this
I'll
table.
I'll have a cup of your morning brown then.
All right, so you guys are grabbing a table?
Yeah.
All right, so you both sit down at this table, and I don't know why I didn't even begin to think you might want to stop in this tavern at some point that you're already in. So you grab a table, and a waitress comes over, and she says, "Morning, y'all. Can I get you anything?"
"I'll just take a cup of coffee."
All right, one cup of... Cup of mud?
Yeah, make it to your morning browns then.
All right. Two cups of coffee coming right up. And she goes back to the bar to pour your coffee.
All right, here's the deal. I assume we're still tracking... What was his name?
Duval.
I assume we're still tracking Duval, right?
Yeah, that fucker. Let's get him.
So what's our next step here?
Well, he stepped through a portal. Not a whole lot of information on that. I'm assuming you're probably a little bit better at hunting people than I am. If we get to a place where there's some pipes that need to be fixed, or if you find the guy and he needs to be killed, that's where I come in. But you seem to be a lot better at tracking people, so I'm just going to leave that up to you. I'm just kind of along for the ride on that.
All right. Sounds about right. So, question. Do we have any information, or are we just in this town with pretty much nothing to go on?
Well, you have the dossier that you possess prior to all that happening. And, like, I think it's worth mentioning that the fall of your people wasn't all that long ago either.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would say it was like a week ago, and you have not returned home yet.
So is this guy... Oh, man, I'm going to have a hard time remembering his name. I need to pull out my notebook.
Deval.
D-E-V-A-L. Oh.
D-E-V-A-L. So is did this guy cause my people to be dead?
Not that you know of. He was just a high-paying bounty that you were pursuing. When your people died.
Do I know how that happened yet?
No.
Okay.
But you do know it has happened because you are no longer a demigod.
Okay. This happened a week ago, you said. So in my dossier, did you write it down, or like, is it something I can look at, or do I just have to ask you questions about it?
You know, I didn't write it down, but the information that you have on your dossier is pretty basic. In the sense that he's a large man, like pushing 7 feet tall, large, Jesus. Rather slender, always wearing black because he's cliche.
Okay.
Has been reported as using a knife to kill people and has hit, let's say he's hit multiple families in multiple cities.
Okay. And are we here in Copenhagen because he's supposed to be here?
No, you're in Copenhagen because you knew it was a safe place to go and heal.
Okay. And so I don't have any information on it as to where, like, he could be at this point.
No, you would have to go back to the scene of the crime.
Okay.
But there's also the alternative of passing by your homeland because you had to consciously choose to not go home to help O'Hare.
Okay. All right, here, this is what I'm thinking. I don't got shit on Deval.
All right.
But we can head back to Stray if you think you're ready. Back to your home and see what kind of evidence we can gather.
Well, here's how I look at it. If it's going to help us track down the bastard that killed my daughter, I say we do it.
Okay.
However, if there is anything that we can do to keep me from walking halfway across this fucking map...
Well, I think the only way... Do we have horses?
I've kind of been running on the assumption that you have some money, and okay. I don't intend to really make you guys use it so much, but if you wanted to say you bought some horses in Copenhagen, that would be fine. And I do have stuff planned, like, in between this and that, however. And I was going to... I was considering implementing, like, a caravan system. So, like, if you wanted to, if you were just walking along the road, you could board a caravan going to whichever city.
Okay. So, you know, the way I brought you here was, it was sort of the long way. It was in between Faramir and Bogren. You know, over the river, down around. That's sort of the long way.
I was awake for all that, mate.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, I'm just explaining to you the reason why I went that way is because I really didn't want to pass by Orange County.
You said that to me.
Yeah. But you know what? It's been 3 days. I think maybe on the way back to Straya, we can stop at Orange County and see if I can get any information on what happened to my people. You know, it's I'm the last one alive. I think I need to check it out.
I'd like to play it piece by piece if you guys want to get up and go. Do you want to wait for your coffees?
I'll yell over to the server and I say, can you make those to go, please?
She says, yeah, come right up, hon.
All right.
she pours your She pours your cups and, or she pours your coffee into disposable cups and puts a little safety lid on it for you so you don't spill it while you're riding your horse.
Perfect. It's nice. So, just to be clear, there's no motorcycles in this universe.
No.
Well, that's weird that I have a motorcycle helmet.
Oh, you don't.
I don't. All right. Do I just have like a regular helmet with rabbit ears on it?
It's like a
leather mask with rabbit ears on it.
Oh, it sounds like a sex thing.
It sounds like a gimp.
Well, or I had one for me and my daughter made.
It wasn't a sex thing back then.
No, it was a different time. It was fun. It was more fun back then. There wasn't so much stigma put on everything back then.
They don't call him a plumber because he was ever a plumber.
Oh, no. I could check your plumbing, though.
I imagine what I'm imagining, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sort of imagining like a sort of, not when I say steampunk, I don't mean the crazy kind of steampunk. I mean like there's some technology that's sort of ahead of its time, but still like olden days.
So this is, God, I don't want to like give it away, but okay, it's essentially just going to be something that you formed into a helmet.
It's the actual head of a rabbit, isn't it?
No.
All right, because it'd be even worse.
Yeah, that'd be dark for you to do for you and your daughter.
So no, there was something you wanted to do in Orange County, isn't there?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what accent that was. Yeah. See.
All right, and then I'm like, where'd you get a cigar?
All right, let's ride out that way.
And I mount my horse.
And then I get on the back of his horse.
And then I tie his horse.
Okay, hold on. I need you guys to just step out of the tavern for me.
Alright, I'm gonna step out of the tavern.
Let's play piece by piece for just a minute, then we'll get to the fast travel stuff.
Okay.
Alright, I'm gonna walk out of the tavern and I'm gonna feel, you know, the first couple of sips of my morning brown hitting me a little bit. And I'm gonna let the outside air hit my face, chest, neck, breast area a little bit. And just go, ooh, it stings my bands a little bit. But that's all right because, you know, this morning brown's got my outlook on life just feeling a little bit more, a little brighter.
I walk out and I feel the sun hit my orangey flesh, my citrus skin.
Oh, man, you have been great with breakfast.
I breathe in real deep and say, nothing like vitamin C, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's actually D from the sun.
Oh, yeah, vitamin D, I'm vitamin C.
Yeah, you're vitamin C, and I also don't think that vitamins have been discovered yet. I don't know. It's a different timeline. It's a different universe. Maybe.
Brag, stupid druid. He's just bragging on his vitamin C over there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's where your healing properties come from.
Yeah,
vitamin
probably.
C, vitamin me. All right.
Oh, fuck, dude. Fucking dude, you gotta say vitamin me from now on. That's
all right.
That's canon. That's gold.
Will do.
All right, so as you guys exit the tavern, Copenhagen's like it's pretty rural. It's pretty bustly. There's a couple of shops, like stands, set up along the street, and people are going back and forth. And you see,
wouldn't that be urban?
What is it?
You said rural. Wouldn't that be urban if it's bustling with business?
No.
No.
I mean to frame it as it's
like a little country town.
This is a nice like country town. All right. Primarily farmers and other field workers and stuff.
Sorry, the image that I get when I hear rural is like lots of land between houses.
Should we describe our characters for people? Because I just realized I just laid out there that I had orange citrus skin and nobody has any idea what I look like.
Yeah, we can.
No, let's wait till we get to Orange County.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys are on your way to the stables, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay, so on your way to the stables, a young human who's dressed in, like, really immaculate armor shoulder checks O'Hare. And he turns around and is pissed off at you and says, "Watch where you're going, dickbag." How do you
want to... Pissed off at hair?
Yeah.
I go, "Hey, on my bent shoulder."
And I say, "Hey, motherfucker. Why don't you watch where you're fucking going? Can't you see this man's injured?"
All right, so he... He kind of squares up to both of you and says, "Yeah, like, I give a shit." And he just slaps the shit out of O'Hare. Hey, but he's looking at you, Citrus.
Ow, right. my bent cheeks.
I want to throw a front kick right at his knee.
Oh, bleak kick.
Not O'Hare's knee. We're not walking in the shadows.
Oh, my bent knee. No.
I'm like, "Oh, yeah?" And I fucking kick your knee in.
No one hurts people like I can. Watch.
You think that hurts him? Watch this.
That doesn't even scratch him. He's so damn tough. Look at this.
So do I need to roll to hit him?
I've reacted to every physical contact, and you're like, "You think that hurts?" I'm like, "Not really hit."
No, I'm not going to make you roll to hit this guy. Because okay. While he was full of bluster, he was not expecting you to actually engage him in any way. So you land this kick hard as shit into his knee, and he collapses sideways and impales himself on an open, on an exposed bar from a building that they're putting together right there.
Shit.
And like, he's fucking dead. Like, he's very dead.
We should probably go.
Okay, so as you recover and you turn to leave,
that guy's fucking dead, man. You just fucking killed him.
Okay, but he was instigating. I didn't kill him on purpose. Yeah,
but I mean, you should be more surprised than me. I have every right to be upset with him.
Listen, I was.
It's worth noting here.
I appreciate the interference, but you fucking killed the guy.
You did kill him. He's quite dead. And yes, as he died, that amazing armor he was wearing kind of fades from existence, as almost as though it was an illusion.
Damn it. I was going to try to search him for some armor pieces, but never mind.
Right. He's wearing tidy whities. Like, that's all he's got on. And like, the front say Chode Zone. Like, that's...
I take his Chode Zone tidy whities.
I love Chode Zone underwear.
You know, that's the best brand in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Every podcast I listen to, they're a sponsor.
Yeah, I had a Chode Zone backpack for a while.
I had a Chode Zone cell phone.
I didn't even know they had a mobile service. That's insane. They're really branching out. Oh, but yeah, God. The missus took my Chode Zone backpack in the divorce. Wait, is she dead? I don't know if she died.
She's dead.
Fuck it, she's dead to me.
She took my Chode Zone backpack.
Yeah, and then she fucking went off and died. She got impaled kind of the same way. That's why I'm taken back by this. And it went right through the Chode Zone backpack. But this is a keepsake that'll remind me of her.
All right. Now we just can see his dick and balls.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was kind of like a walking dick and balls. So it's just going to illustrate the point, you know?
I'd like to look around. Or I'd like to investigate this person. I'm going to roll investigation.
What else is there to investigate? He's fucking ass naked.
He was wearing fucking ethereal armor.
Yeah, but are you going to look into his butthole?
You want to investigate him? You want to do like a...
I want to see if he's got any, like... I just rolled a 14, as you can probably see in the thing. I want to see if he has any, like, unique marks on his skin, like maybe tattoos or scars that may be like cut in a specific pattern. I'm looking for something that's different about this guy. Like, why the fuck was he wearing armor that was not real?
All right. So you do find one mark. It's along his cheek. It's a big birthmark. It looks a lot like a gravestone.
Oh.
Like a classically depicted one, not like a little square one in the ground.
Yeah, like a circular one or like a cross.
No, it's like an old school tombstone.
Okay.
All right.
So, what a weird birthmark.
Yeah, I think we should leave.
Probably.
All right. So as you guys are standing over this dead, naked man who you just thoroughly checked over, an older woman approaches on a horse. So she gets off her horse and approaches you slowly, thinking you might still be a threat, but also kind of stunned at what had just happened.
She felt like this guy tripped.
She falls to her knees next to the pasty corpse, and she says, "You've doomed us all. The capital must be warned at once, and the people of the provinces must be made aware." She stands up and dusts off her robe and says, "I'd kill you both, but honestly, I hated that idiot, and our time on this plane is limited. Go. Go and warn the people. Take his mark as proof of our fate. I'll inform the capital."
Take his mark, like the birthmark?
Yeah.
Cut it off his face?
I say we just take the whole fucking head.
You killed the Chosen.
What do you mean, killed the Chosen?
The Jiraiya prophecy, the end-all prophecy. There was one man destined to save all of us, and you just killed him.
You know, for a prophecy, he was pretty fucking brittle.
I barely kicked his fucking knee. Like,
it was supposed to be just a debilitating kick, and he went fucking 3 feet backwards onto a... I think, what did we hit? Would he hit, like, a piece of rebar or something?
Yeah,
a
rebar.
Ah, fucking hell. Where's OSHA when you need him?
You guys should have fucking chose a better person.
He was always a pasty boy, and we don't choose him. He came from a selected line, a line predestined to be the Chosen.
Of course. Well, you know, maybe... Wait a minute. What if... All right. So we can kill two birds with one stone right now. If we remove this man's face and put it on my face, it'd be like a skin graft.
Before you even say anything else, Citrus Diggums whips out a shovel and brings it down in a chopping motion on his neck.
All right, you chop his head right the fuck off. Real good with that shovel.
Yeah, we probably could have just pulled on it a little bit. He seemed like he wasn't really put together too well.
And she picking him up by his hair, I'm like, here you go, buddy.
Don't pull on his hair too much, it'll probably fall out.
And she kind of winces when you do that. But it's clear it's clear she's seen some shit. So she walks over to you, and she casts a spell of preservation on the head to keep it from rotting. And she tells you, every province must be made aware the Chosen has fallen. We must prepare.
Okay.
So he's cutting his face off the table then?
You guys should consider yourself lucky, because this fucking guy... Like, brittle. I mean, he didn't even have real armor.
I mean, he was an absolute dickhead, too. That's kind of a... I mean, I wouldn't have chosen him, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, all right, lady. Well, we don't get to choose him. It's just, he always kind of grew up with the idea that he was the Chosen One, and people have more or less let him get away with everything his entire life.
Yeah, I guess it'll...
All right, well...
Probably give you some form of a... What's that called when you got a... Got complex.
Entitlement. He's a
he's a bit of an entitled asshole. All right, well, who are we warning?
What's happening? Yeah, it sounds like you kind of know what we're supposed to do, so, like, what do you want me to do with this?
I need you to take the mark, or the head, in this instance, and I need you to go to every province and warn the leaders of each province that the end is coming.
Okay, does that include this one?
No, we don't have a leader.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess we'll start with.
I mean, just start with Orange County. That's where we're heading,
right? Orange County's kind of destroyed. We'll get to it after we stop at Orange County.
Yeah, I mean, these are a spill of preservation.
Do whatever you want.
Times of the. Here we go.
Do whatever you want. Your time on this plane is limited.
Okay.
Wait, it seems like there's haste involved, and then whatever. We're just gonna continue.
We'll be hasty. Yeah. And I hop on my horse.
Is this man as pasty? We will be hasty.
I guess we're not to the stables yet. I continue on to the stables.
All right, you guys are at the stables. You've saddled up your horses, and you're on your way.
I've tucked the head into a pouch on my horse, and wrapped it in cloth so it didn't get it dirty.
I start singing Rusted Roots, Send Me On My Way.
One more.
I would like to reach out my hand.
Oh, Marcel, don't know what it says.
Marcel, Marion.
Are we there now?
Yeah, that was great old music. You did great. No, I'm going to say you're like right. I'm going to say you make it right about. How the fuck do I mark on this thing?
Click on the paint brush and then.
So there we are. I'm going to say you make it to like right here on the path. Can you see that?
Goddamn, really. It wasn't very far at all, but then again, we didn't sing very much either.
Yeah.
You're not.
I would like to hold my little hand. We could roll. Does it send us any further?
No, you're not done traveling necessarily. You're only like 20, 30 minutes outside of Copenhagen.
Yeah, it seems like some pitfalls might have been written into this, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Just character introductions, I guess. I gotta find my shit. Let me see. See what the fuck up. Alright, so as you're traveling down the road, you see a man walking towards you. He's kinda got a big pack on his back. As you get closer, he kinda hails you. He waves to you as though he wants you to stop and chat for a minute.
Hey, what was the brand of the underwear that I had?
Chozone.
Chozone. Yeah, is it a Chozone pick?
Yeah, he's got like the newest one, like the nicest one.
Oh, shit.
That like hipsters throw on to climb up to the Hollywood sign.
It's pretty wild. All right.
Well, so he hails you over and he says, well met, travelers. Name's Crispin. I'm a bit of a traveler myself. I go from province to province selling my wares as I go.
I can tell by your Chozone pack.
It's a hell of a Chozone pick.
He's like,
name's Citrus Diggums.
So nice to meet you, Diggums. And you are?
My name's Connor O'Hare, but you can call me Plumber. That's what my friends call me.
Oh, Plumber. I've actually heard of you. You have quite a bit of a reputation as a plumber in Straya.
Thanks. It's not the case anymore to the fact that my house was burnt down and my daughter was killed, so... I'll still do like freelance work if the money's right, but like right now my head's not in it. So I'll give you my card, and you know, once the wounds have healed, maybe we can hook up. But as of right now, I'm not really in the business.
He's on a bit of a sabbatical.
Yeah. Understood. I'm not exactly in need of a plumber. I more or less live on the road. I was just about to set up camp for the night. Would you guys like to share a camp with me?
Well, we're pretty fucking busy, man, but. Listen, you're a bit of a traveler. Where are you headed?
Oh, I'm on my way back to Copenhagen.
Yeah, that's no good.
I just acquired some goods from Avalgard, including this sweet new backpack you're looking at. And
I've got to say that Chazin backpack's got me like green with envy right now. I'm not going to rehash all of the old story, but let's just say I used to have one.
Well, I actually picked this up from a dwarven buddy of mine in Avalgard.
Is there a hole in it by chance?
No.
It's not the one that I had then.
No, this one's waterproof. It's really nice. He custom built it for me. You'll have to introduce yourself to him if you ever head up that way.
What's his name?
Oh, Jinx, you owe me some morning brown in the morning.
Yes, I owe you some morning brown.
and then I wink at Citrus. I'm not trying to build that, but. That's what I do.
Well, I'm trying to remember this guy's fucking name. I did have a name.
Crispin.
No, that's the merchant.
No, it's the guy that we were just fucking talking to. Right.
Oh, no, yeah. the dwarven guy he was talking about that he got his backpack from.
Oh, Cletus.
No, he says, oh, my buddy, he's a master smith in Avalgard. His name's Eldar. If you ever head up that way, you gotta go find him.
Eldar,
and where's he at? Avalgard? Alright. Well, we might. You know what? It's a guarantee that we'll be there.
At some point, yeah.
At some point. In fact, if you weren't going to Copenhagen right now, I was going to just completely delegate this mission to you. and just be like, look, take this head, places, since you're traveling as well. But
you have a
seems
head?
Like we're
I
mean, we gotta warn everybody, right? It's weird that we would keep it a secret.
I mean, just the leaders, just the town leaders.
I think he was like a huge sign that of end times or something.
You have the town leaders' heads?
No. Okay. All right. Check it out.
He was like a prophet or something like that?
This guy like was picking a fight and he tripped and he stabbed himself and died. And we were told to take his head to the leaders. And it was like the prophet.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. It's exactly what I was saying when it happened.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, you should do that. Are you sure? You sure you don't want to make camp with me for the night?
I mean, it sounds like you're really pushing for it, but I think you just woke up.
No, that's all right. You're right. You got stuff.
You seem like a fucking great guy. It's nothing against you, mate. It's just we've got a lot on a plate at the moment, and it's two ships passing in the night kind of scenario. If you know different circumstances, I'd be happy to share a nice hot meal. And actually, wait a minute. For the night, we just fucking woke up.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Hey, what was your name again?
Crispin.
Crispin. All right, I'll tell you what, Crispin. Where are you going after Copenhagen?
Oh, I imagine I'll be heading back up to Theramir, through to Estrella, and all the way back up to Freyden.
Okay. We're heading over to Orange County to do some investigating, then up to Estrella to do some more investigating. What if we, let's see. That about that timing, you should be heading from Theramir to Estrella, so maybe we'll cross paths and pitch a tent. I mean, fucking...
Maybe we can get some erections together.
Oh, yeah. No, see, this happens to me all the time. I'm too forward with people. You know, it was really nice meeting you guys. Good luck on your travels. He turns around and walks away, and it's clear he's clenching his butt cheeks in self-defense.
All right, well.
You fucking really put your foot in your mouth on that one there.
Yeah, that was not my best phrasing.
Hey, listen, it's all right. Maybe, I'm kind of letting you take the reins on some of these conversations, and maybe I should lead on the next one.
Yeah, it's your turn. You got the next one for sure.
All right. For sure.
All right, we continue to Orange County.
All right, I'm gonna just put you there right around. It'll be right around nighttime now-ish.
Okay.
Like,
I would like to hold my little head. We could have rode it. We could cry. Send me on my way. All right.
I love it. Just saying. I like how it faded in and out a little bit. I like your.
It's good. It's good transition scenes. Editing is it's a bit of a bit, so I like to lead in and out.
All right, so,
Oh, wow. What do I smell right now? I smell a delicious... It's this citrusy scent that's in the air, but a little bit of ash and rubble as well. Maybe some brimstone.
Yeah, you see, when you burn oranges, they really release an aromatic... like the oils become aromatic, so it's probably what you're smelling.
Well, too bad you're not next door to Clove County.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I just... All right. So this part's gonna be a little talky for me too, just backstory shit. But so you walk through, you approach kind of the center of where your, I don't know, I'd say your people's town, province, society. Just kind of, they're all kind of arrayed out in terraced groves. The land here is kind of naturally terraced, where it has like a high spot, like towards the middle, right in the center of this copse of trees. I don't know if you can. Oh yeah, I gotta fucking roll E.
Yeah.
So let's say you guys are right along here. So
dead center of Orange County.
Yeah. So you've been walking through this death and decay that was once your home, and like the bark crumbles from the trees just from the your passing. And as the remnants of what was once a beautiful forest is just crunching beneath your feet now. You journey into the center of the dead forest and you're confronted by a giant spectral wolf. So, Diggums, you feel a familiar energy emanating from this wolf. The wolf approaches you confidently and lowers its head to look into your eyes. Do you have eyes? Are you just one big fucking orange?
I'm just one big orange.
Okay.
But nobody ever addresses it.
Okay, so...
No one, and actually, no one knows where to look when they're talking to him. It's really like, weird. They kind of just look at his, like, nipples.
O'Hare's been with this guy for 3 days, drinking coffee with him every morning. Never seen him once eat or drink. He's always looking away.
Which is weird because, like, the opening line is we made eye contact.
Exactly.
So. And I think I just kind of found the label.
Yeah,
and I just stare at that.
You just stare at my, like, orange pores, basically. You know what they say about when, you know, like, orange peel? You got to keep your eyes peeled, so.
I think that
it's
would be
the situation.
Bad for you if you were to peel those?
Yeah.
Either way, this wolf approaches you confidently and lowers its head to look eye level with you, where a person's eyes would be.
Okay.
It extends its neck and touches your forehead. You feel the sensation of falling as your body rocks back, and you're drawn into a vision. So your vision blurs as you're standing in a verdant meadow, surrounded by the ghostly forms of your people. They go about their business as though you're not there, tending their trees, hanging their laundry. You hear the wolf's voice echo through your thoughts. And he says,
"What vexes you, child?
How did this happen? How did everybody die?"
"What happened here was inevitable."
And the world kind of spins around you violently as the scene changes to that of, like, the moment of the invasion. So you see your people standing proud before the capital's army as it bears down on them, a figure in all black leading from the front, with dark energy emanating around him. And it's kind of unclear whether or not that's part of the vision or that's actually what you would have seen.
But
just as the lines are about to clash, the world spins around. You witness your people form a circle. They've already engaged the enemy and they're fighting back to back against this overwhelming force. They all raise their hands to the treetops and cry out, and a ward of vines is raised as their voices rise to the sky. The attackers strike out at the ward, only to find themselves tangled in its vines. The dome-shaped ward pulses as the vines grow tighter, shrinking in size each time, until finally, the ward implodes. And as it implodes, you can see your people are gone. So this black wave of energy begins to slowly expand from the epicenter of the ward. There's no sound at first, until the enemy begins to panic. So gathered upon the ward, they were unable to escape as the wave passes over them. They scream as their bodies decompose in front of their eyes. The man in black stands still as he's covered in the dark energy. Seconds pass, and he crumbles into an obsidian dust. You walk forward to where the center of the ward was, where your people made their final stand, and bend down to run your fingers through the loamy earth. Your hand brushes the dust away from a seed, about the size of a pear, and you hear the wolf say,
"Nothing ever ends, child. Life and death are an endless continuum. Embrace the cycle. This you must do. Take this seed, this vessel of life, and keep it safe, so your people may tend their groves again."
And the haze of the dream state lifts, and you find yourself crouched down where the ward had been, holding a seed that's slightly warmer than the air around it. You roll the seed to your other hand and realize where the seed was. There's now a mark in the palm of your hand. You recognize it as the sigil of your people. So I'd say like a, almost like a, like an oak tree, let's say that. Like a landing tree.
Okay.
Possibly an orange tree?
Yes. So the vision's faded away and the wolf has disappeared. And it's not super clear, at least from my perspective. I didn't think about it too much, whether or not O'Hare saw the wolf at all. All he's seeing is you having a bit of like a moment, as though you were falling, and then you, as though in a trance, stumbled forward and started digging through the dirt.
Okay. So he didn't see this, he didn't see any of that except for me pull the seed out of the ground.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, we could play it either way.
It's fine. You know what? Let's meet in the middle. I saw like a white glowing misting figure. And then that was just for a brief moment, and then I saw Diggum's kind of start digging in the soil.
I look at Hare with the seed in my hand, and I put it into my, what do I have, like a bag?
I'd say you're wearing, you got the saddlebags on your horse, and let's say you have a backpack. I think that's... Okay.
I put it in my backpack, but it's not a Chode Zone backpack. I'm not that rich. I have a bland sport.
Damn.
A bland sport backpack.
He's broke as fuck. He's either broke or he's super frugal.
I mean, we're just kind of people of the earth. We don't, you know, we don't, we're not rich by any means. Rich in nature, rich in
earth
community. Yeah.
All right. So you kind of, you come to, and you're standing in this dead forest in the middle of the night. And you can tell there's not really anything left for you here. The land itself is dead.
All right. Do I know who the attackers were? Could I tell in that vision?
Yeah, you could tell it was the army of the capital. So that would be Theramir.
Theramir. All right. Well, Hare, there's nothing left for me here. I've got the sigil of my people. I'll know what to do with it at some point, I assume.
What was it all about then, Siddhi? What happened?
I saw a vision. The army of Theramir, they destroyed my people. They destroyed my land. That's pretty much it. They killed everybody.
Those fucking guys. All right, well. You know, I think that's... I mean, we've got to go to Australia. We've got a mission here, but... But I'd completely recommend that there'd be a stop on the way. And worst case scenario, you know, I don't have a lot to live for anymore, Diggs. So it's only been 3 days, but you're kind of like family to me at this point. And I've already got two nicknames for you. I've said them both in this whole spiel, which is Siddhi and Diggs. that's enough to die for you, mate. We could maybe stuff a bunch of, like, explosives or something in this fucking guy's head and be like, hey, end is nigh. And then
that's not
maybe
a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. And then if you want to blow them all up, I'm down, mate.
Well, I think maybe save that for last case scenario. What if we just head to Straya and get a hotel for the night and do some investigating in the morning when we got light?
That's fine. I'm not sure about the passage of time at this point anyway, so sure.
Yeah, sorry.
Me neither.
So it's pretty well into nighttime at this point.
All right. Well, do you want to just make camp here then?
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've good enough pals at this point. I think we could pitch a tent together.
Sure. Let's do that.
All right.
I pitch a tent. And then I set up camp.
I'm going to roll the pitch tent.
Thank you. I was going to say, we haven't had any fucking rolls yet. Just roll it. Roll the pitch a tent.
What do you want me to roll?
Just roll anything.
Just I'm going to roll
I roll animal handling to pitch the Sigis tent.
I mean, I don't think a nice...
He's pitching it at a squirrels.
You're going to... You want to
roll the nine.
Or Harry, you want to roll? Acrobatics?
Sure.
Wait, what is that?
Acrobatics.
All right, okay.
It's an 11. It's a fucking... It's a respectable tent. Nothing too fancy.
Right, so I'm picturing just regular two-pole pup tents.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I'm going to say with a 9, Citrus, your tent's up, but it's very saggy. Like, it's clear that you just didn't wanna.
So, yeah.
O'Hare, your tent looks good. Like, it's not your first time out in the wilderness, kind of making the druid look a little shameful.
Yeah, me and my daughter used to pitch tents together. We'd put on these fun leather masks and pitch tents together.
Oh, how 2 points on the roll will change the shape of your tent.
Well, 10 is the average. Yeah, and that's below true. That is below
slightly
average.
Slightly below average.
And above that is above average. I mean, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair.
I mean, just lay down in
your saggy tent and then go to sleep.
Okay. So, you guys go to sleep. I don't necessarily have anything for this in the in-between. So you wake up. It's another day.
Yeah, we do that thing where we have the same dream.
Yep. So let's say that. You both experience the same dream again. And coincidentally, you both wake up at the same time and make eye contact again. Kind of awkwardly. Yeah,
through tents. We did a terrible fucking job on these tents, mate. I can see you right through it.
Fair point.
The openings are facing each other.
It makes sense. We just sit up like this. Beep.
Yeah. We sit up and I say, same dream again.
No, actually, this time I had a dream about this weird group of people, this kind of ragtag group of this fire guy and this little tiny ripped girl and this little like goblin man. And they were all doing weird stuff, and he had this crazy accent. And the little goblin man was like way too happy all the time. And then there was like these spiders and these ghosts. It was fucking off the rails. But I'm just fucking with you. I had the same exact dream as always.
Oh, yeah, I was really into. I was excited that you had a different dream.
No, that was about to make your old deception.
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, of course I had the same dream, mate. Couldn't sleep a wink hardly. I felt like I was tossing and turning all night, even in that fucking badass tent that I made.
Kudos on just making that up on the spot. That sounds like a cool story.
Yeah, it does sound like a cool story, but yeah, you know me. I mean, you got a daughter to entertain. You kind of figure out how to make up stories on the spot. It's a skill that's going to go to waste now.
Yeah.
Because she's dead.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about
that. Speaking of which, let's get up to Straya. Let's go.
Let's go up there.
You guys just want to go? I don't know if you guys had a fire or what the fuck was going on. If you want to
go. Who cares? This whole place is burned down.
Sorry. Are we going to burn the place down?
Just fucking leave it. Let's go.
Fucking useless thing.
What I'd like to do, though... And I feel like this is something that Diggum should have done, but I'm going to do it just out of, what is that called? Like, intuition? Is I'm going to scoop up a little bit of the cabin-rich ash land of this place because it looks like it's really fertile ground. And I'm just going to scoop some and put it into my knapsack. I've got like a little...
Makes sense.
All right.
Satchel.
What is it called whenever... places catch on fire and become fertile? Is it called like germinating?
I think it's just called fire, bud.
No, like old timey farmers used to do it. It's not scorched earth, but it's literally like raised. They'll do it so new plant life can grow.
Yeah.
It's not that
they get germinated whenever, or is that something else?
I don't think so.
That doesn't matter. Whatever. I'm the worst druid there is.
All right, well, so you got some dirt and put it in your backpack.
Okay.
So we'll say you saddle up your horses and head towards Straya.
Ride north.
All right.
Yeah, so I guess we head towards Straya. All right.
Yeah. So you guys are, let's say you cut back through this way. You're heading towards Straya. So this is Straya. We'll say you approach from this direction with this house here being O'Hare's house.
Yeah, it's my house, all right. If I can recognize a house. It's mine. Could pick it out of a lineup.
You really had a beachfront property.
I did. Now I've got, I guess the property's still mine. I guess I could rebuild.
That's true. Yeah, you didn't just like... That would really be shitty if once like a piece of property caught on fire, the town was just like, well, you don't own that anymore.
Yeah, it would be...
That's ours now.
It would definitely add insult to injury, wouldn't it? You've got mend, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you kissed it over my entire house?
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I've ever done mended something that large.
Thanks. It's a pretty big house.
Oh, let me read the spell's verbiage to answer that question.
You're going to put together a burnt house?
This spell repairs a single break or tear in an object you touch, such as a broken chain and a link, two halves of a broken key, a torn cloak, or a leaking wineskin. As long as the break or tear is no longer than 1 foot in any dimension, you mend it.
Okay. A question for you, Hare. Is your house 1 foot or larger?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a little bit bigger than that.
He's trying to con you into being able to do it.
But maybe
it seems like it's getting bigger as we get closer, though.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, mate. Yeah, from where we're standing, it's pretty small. But yeah, I think you're right. I think as we get closer, it's yeah, we're both gonna fit inside, so probably not. But maybe you could cast it like, I don't know, 26,000 times.
Yeah, if we're here for long enough, for sure, I could do like one little thing at a time.
All right, maybe there could be like if assuming we defeat the bad guys and save the world, maybe we could come back here and knock that out over the course of like, I don't know, 6 years or something. It'd probably be easier just to fix the fucking house.
Yeah,
like,
it'd traditionally. Be faster just to build a new one for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just traditionally, yeah, like maybe get some export or import in here and get some new lumber and whatever else that we need.
Right.
Definitely.
So, you guys approach...
Are we at the house then?
So you guys approach the wreckage of O'Hare's home, and you find a crew of people cleaning up the mess. One of them walks over to you, O'Hare, and says, "Hey man, I'm glad to see you're all right. We had heard what happened and we were worried about you. We weren't sure when you'd come home, so we laid Luis to rest at the Hidden Falls Cemetery." He points back towards the burnt remains of your house and says, "Not much survived, but we did find this book in the fireplace of all places. Oh, and this." So he hands you the book, and he also hands you a large stuffed rabbit that's been, it's just burnt all over. It's like tore the fuck up. But it's like a, it's kind of like a large stuffed rabbit. Not like a giant one you get at the fair, but it's, I'd say it's like 3 feet tall. Or was before it was all burnt to shit. And then he says, we buried Lou next to Ophelia. We figured that's what you would have wanted. I'm so sorry for your loss. And he goes back to cleaning up.
I start to weep into the rabbit for a little bit. And then go ahead.
I have an inner thought that goes something like this.
Probably shouldn't have drug him away before we buried his daughter.
You don't hear that. That's just what I think.
Yeah, it was good that you did. And I mean, I have the inner thought that kind of snaps me out of sobbing, and I'm like, was it my neighbor, Mac?
I don't know. Oh, that was an inner thought. Never mind.
And then, like, I kind of, like, look up to the gods a little bit. I'm like, was it my neighbor, Mac?
And then I say, I don't know. I don't know anybody here.
And then a little louder, I say, was that my fucking neighbor, Mark?
And is he still standing here, the guy?
He's like 20 feet away, like getting back to work, and he goes, yeah, it's me, Mark.
Mark, what happened to your accent, mate?
Oh, I'm not originally from here.
Mark, I've known you for 36 years, mate. Yes, you are. You've lived here as long as I have.
I'm 50 years old.
You look incredible for your age, mate. I don't think we've ever had the conversation of age. I just always assumed we were the same age.
Nope, way older than you. Bye.
He does a lot of CrossFit.
He just gets back into working.
Thanks for being my donut. I remember you having an accent, though, Mac.
I can't do accents. If I could,
he's just like, nope, I'm in incredible shape. And then he walks over to an ox that's pulling a tilling thing, and he undoes it from the ox and pulls it himself.
He just picks it up and starts pulling
picks the ox up and just throws it to the side. Or just wears it like a piggyback ride. And he starts piggybacks pulling it.
Pulls all of it. That guy should probably be the. That guy should probably be the prophecy guy.
Right? I think he should have been here on the night that I was attacked.
Yeah, he could have just picked up your house and moved it to a different spot.
Or just ripped the guy in half and just be like, yeah, sorry, I saw that asshole coming in. I just figured I'd help you out.
It's too bad. He probably goes to sleep because he's old.
Oh, he's really healthy, too. I think he gets his 8 hours.
Yeah.
Just shows up randomly Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, let's do some perception checks on the inside of this house, maybe where the portal was created.
Hey, so what's that book?
I'm going to look at this. You look at this book. And I give the book to him, and I'm like, I'm looking at Portal Max.
And I'm going to roll
investigation on the book. Not my neighbor, Mac, but the portal. Like,
I rolled a 19 to investigate this book.
Fuck, you're going to know more about that book than I do.
Oh, man. I don't think I have your character sheet yet.
I'm in roll 20 with you guys.
Oh, is it in roll 20 or is it in...
No, sorry. Do you need me on?
I'm not seeing it. I don't know if it's because I have a bunch of shit already added to this.
Let's see.
Like a bunch of characters.
It said something about me being part of the campaign when I clicked on him. Let me see.
Yeah, I saw your roll.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good enough, right?
I can't see
What else did you need?
I can't see your character sheet.
What on my character sheet do you need to see? Because I'm going to roll for everything that I need, and it's going to...
It doesn't necessarily matter. I just am going to use it for reference points, because I don't know a lot about this shit yet. But anyway, so you roll a 19. You open this book. Or, like, at first glance, you can tell it's just a regular old book. And it's a classic romance. Let's say it's a... 51 Shades of Grey. But in the very back of the book, you notice there's a picture. And it's a small, like, miniature, I guess like a family portrait of O'Hare and his family. So it was O'Hare and his wife Ophelia holding baby Louise.
Okay. Nothing else special about any of this?
About the book?
About the book or the picture?
Not necessarily. Just mementos of O'Hare's.
Okay. I carefully slide it back into the back of the book and close it.
All the while, I'm kind of like doing like this ultimate dead crouch out. Like he's like checking the level of the ad a little bit. And I'm just kind of like kind of crab walking around, kind of looking at clues.
It is crab.
Yeah, should I roll for dead crouch?
Please do.
Alright.
Roll athletics.
Athletics, alright.
While he's investigating, I walk up behind him and I put the book and the stuffed bunny in his backpack.
And I kinda peer behind me and I'm like, thanks for that, Diggs. Appreciate you, mate.
Yeah, there's a family picture in the back of that book, so
Was it intact?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Put it back there for safekeeping.
I'll pull that out later. Right now I'm kind of, you know, I'm in mission mode, so it's just gonna make me lose focus and I don't need that right now.
Yeah.
Thanks again though, mate. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
And while we're here, I just want to point out I'm not losing my mind, mate. Mark really did have an accent before.
I believe you. He's probably trying to hide it for some reason.
And he's a character, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
he's
for sure.
I don't know what's up with him lately, but he really, I mean, I feel embarrassed.
Can I ask you something?
You can ask me whatever you like.
How come while you were investigating this ground, you rolled an athletics check?
It's a dad squat.
Because I was dead squatting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was solid dead squat too, if I reckon correctly.
With a 14, you're fucking killing it. Like, Mark looks back and he's like, damn, that's a good squat. And he's like, well, he's kind of the authority on such matters in Straya.
And I kind of look up at Mark and I just kind of wave over at Mark and I'm like, hey, Mark. And I just keep kind of investigating the lawn.
Well, he's just covered in your burnt house.
Yeah. Well, like, something about, there's something you got to know about Stray is, like, dead skills and stuff. Like, whoever can pick up the dog shit the best is, like, they're, like, really held to a high regard. Like, what Mark's doing over there is not that impressive.
Not impressive.
Nah, but if you can, like, cook burgers really well, if you can flip things on the barbie really well, and, like, chugging, like, cruises is what we call them. We, like, chug some cruises from time to time. And without the missus finding out, things like that, they're held to a high regard. Whatever Mark's doing, he's just fucking off.
And that's really why you were so well known, because plumbers, being a real good handyman, especially when it comes to, like, plumbing,
they really held in high regard. Pick of the ladies.
Like, he's fucking Tony Stark of the plumbing world.
Yeah, truly. Aaron didn't get to hear my backstory on that, but perhaps we'll meet a character that knows all about me and he can tell us.
Yeah, or someone will ask all about us and we'll have to break it down for him.
Oh, man, breaking it down. Dead style.
I mean, I had a guy for that, but you guys tried to fuck him.
I didn't try to fuck him.
There was a misunderstanding, I think.
There was a definite misunderstanding.
He thought you guys were going to fuck him.
We'll run into him again.
Yeah, this time. Anyway, I'm going to roll perception on this grass in the area that I remember 3 days prior a portal was made, and I'm going to see if I can't figure anything out on that.
Definitely.
I don't know if there's like a fucking... What do you call those things?
Is there an arcane check? Is that what you'd have to roll? Or would it just be perception?
It would be, I would say, if it was me being the DM, and you could do whatever you want, but if it was me, I would say you'd have to roll either perception or investigation to notice anything, and then if it was good enough to notice anything, then that thing would need an arcana check. Does that make sense? Like, you'd have to identify that there's a spot different than everything else first, and then check that out.
Okay. There's no. Okay. Go ahead and roll your check.
Perception first.
Yeah. Let's do perception.
17.
Ooh.
Yeah. 17. You inspect the area in which the portal was created. Although I don't know if I described it clear enough, but it wasn't a portal on the ground. It was a portal in the air, next to him.
Oh.
So. On the grass, you can maybe see like a small, like a charred spot that is a little discolored. It's not exactly like it was a normal fire.
All right. Like somebody lit a smoke bomb right there or something?
Yeah.
It looks like I got some over here, Diggs. So I'm going to take a look with my incredible arcana checks.
All right. I walk over.
And it's a 14. I have a -1, actually.
All right. I'll also take a look, too, just to help.
Yeah, let's both take a look. No, not your
4. I rolled a 4.
All right.
I'm not even looking in the right spot.
Yeah, you're like, there it is. I'm like, nah, it's over here. All
right. So with your 14... You see O'Hare just kind of looking the wrong direction. And, like, you get the impression that he's cross-eyed, even though you can't see his eyes. But after inspecting this a bit more and digging into it, you can tell that this was a teleport spell that he cast. So it wasn't so much as a portal as it was a fancy way of teleporting. Which, according to this game, means that he transported... somewhere in the area within, I believe, is 100 yards
or 100 feet.
Oh, shit. Oh, wait, I don't know that.
I know that. So, listen here, Diggs.
Yeah.
From what I've gathered, my account is not fucking tip-top by any means.
Uh-huh.
But it looks like this motherfucker... This motherfucker... He used a... He didn't use a portal at all.
No.
From what I gather, this man's used a teleportation spell. Which is similar, and when you use the
right.
it
Yeah, I know what you're trying
to
say.
Yeah, so what's gonna it's you're gonna get the same results ultimately, except for the difference is portals, right? As long as you've got another portal set up somewhere, you can go anywhere in the fucking universe with it.
Yeah.
As far as teleportation goes, there's a lot of limitations on that. I mean, if you're the best in the world, why am I losing this accent?
Yeah, no, I got you.
In the world is he's only going to get like maybe 100 feet. Did we say 100 feet or 100 yards?
I think it's 100 feet. I don't know if anything's measured in yards.
So it's safe to say that at least 3-4 now days ago, he was here after he teleported.
After he teleported, he was fucking probably went over to Mark's house or something. I don't know. But I'm real suspicious of Mark.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to have to ask around.
We're going to have to ask around.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for listening. We hope that you enjoyed the first episode of Path of Prophecy, written and DM'd by our guest DM, Aaron Henry. As for the music in this episode, we have Search and The Truth, both written and produced by Dark Fantasy Studio and Nicholas Judy. This song that is playing in the background here is a song played by Austin Witten, and it is The Prophecy in song form. Enjoy.
Is born of wars, long waged, a unity formed, tempers a sage. This lasting peace was doomed to fail. Beneath their seas, the real threat hails. Pain and strife will wreathe this earth. Suffer then, storm clouds thrice cursed, chosen, plucked from boughs of peace, who bears the mark of those deceased. Peel the thread and tear it asunder, lest your world the demons plunder. Symbol now, the relic seven, use the strength, protect thy brethren.